works out exactly the way we want it. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is your friend CL King coming to you live from the High Definition Studios here in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Thank you for tuning in to Impacting Life 24/7. You know, it never gets old talking about how often you can have the opportunity to make an impact on somebody's life. And that's what our primary mission here is at Impacting Life 24/7. Is we focus exclusively on bringing people into your living rooms, into your earbuds, into your homes, into your cars, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, to make an impact in your life. And I was telling my guest tonight, my very esteemed guest, that oftentimes I'm getting just as blessed as my audience is. And you guys have been so kind to us, helping the Impacting Life movement become an actual movement instead of me and Greg working out the trunk of our car. It's actually legit now. And the reason for that is because I feel like consistently when you guys have been hearing about, hey, man, that story resonates with me, you're identifying and gravitating toward that. So tonight, it is a two-part series where we don't usually have people on back-to-back very often. But when we do, they're usually from Texas. And so I'm blessed to have a very, very esteemed man. He won't esteem himself, but I certainly will. Dr. Skip Madrigal has become a friend to the Impacting Life 24/7 family. And it started out with him saying to himself, hey, look, I'm a physician. I'm a colonel. I'm a national wrestling champion. I've been in the Army for 25 years. I've deployed 30 months to combat zones. I'm a tough guy. And what happened? Dr. Skip found himself laying on the carpet, and he became an observer and participant and slowly put some pieces together that said, hey, look, I've got to admit to myself, Skip, you are depressed. And he said, you got to get help. April 17th, 2014, Skip says, I hit rock bottom and did not know where to go. I knew that I needed help. And when I heard Skip relay this to us in our pre-interview, I said, you know what? I need to have you speak to our audience. You guys know that at Camp Lejeune is one of the largest, I think it is the largest Marine Corps base in the world. And just about an hour up the road is Cherry Point, which is the largest Marine Corps air station in the world. So God really aligned our paths for us to bring someone of this caliber, 25-year Army physician, doctor, and colonel, Donald Madrigal. Welcome, doctor.
Thank you, CL. It's my delight to be there. And to all those Marines there at Camp Lejeune, hoorah! And to any of my fellow soldiers, hoorah!
Yes, sir. I think I have one person on our team he might have been a soldier, but, you know, we'll let one on there every now and then.
Yeah, you and Greg and others that are been in the Corps.
Yes, sir. We still cater to, well, you know, one of my sons is in the Army, and then my other son, who's 18, he's actually he auditioned for the Army band.
Right. What's going on with that?
Well, you know, I think we talked about that was an absolute. It was harder than a Marine Corps audition. He had to seriously, he had to do 11 pieces. Whoa. And he got 8 of them the night before.
Wow.
And so it's in percussion, because he's a drummer. Mm-hmm. It's very competitive. And so it's cyclic. And so we're waiting on the next availability for him to go to boot camp in October. So his score has got to be where he's high enough to compete and make the cut. So, the saga continues. Anyway, doctor, we're so thankful for you being with us. And doctor, if you could, what we always like to do is we like to give everybody an insight to how they can contact our guests. So if you would you tell everybody how they can contact you, doctor?
The easiest way to contact me is on my website, www.wrestlingisnotforwimps.com. skipmarines.com and on Facebook and Twitter at Skip, S-K-I-P, W-N-W.
Yes, and Greg, the gunny, the retired gunny, says, greetings, Colonel. We're so glad to have you. We should be playing, I don't know what we should be playing. But, I don't know what the Army has us play, but yes, again, I would love for everybody to go to wrestlingisnotforwimps.com. And we're blessed to have Donald Mondragon in the studio, virtual studios with us. So, Doctor, you know, me, I know you, Greg knows you, our team knows you, but our audience doesn't. And so if you would, give us a little insight into who the doctor is and introduce yourself to the folks.
Thank you, CL. I'm the third of eight children, grew up with parents of meager means, the oldest of five boys. And my father came back from Korea a broken man. And my childhood is very traumatic, CL. But let's fast forward. Early childhood, traumatic, discover wrestling in eighth grade. Get married later on, five children. See, I'd say my real claim to fame are my independent, well-functioning, productive, contributing children who have not come back to the roost.
To haunt you.
And my four amazing grandchildren, and especially the love of my life, Sherry, my tough as nails Army wife, who raised five children in my absence on her own.
Right.
Is my soulmate, my adventurer in this life, my fellow word nerd, and this May, we will celebrate 40 years of marriage.
This May, 40 years of marriage. That is so awesome, Doctor. Congratulations. And if you guys have some cake, I expect you to ship me a piece, okay? Ship me a piece. So 40 years of marriage is something. And you know, what people see, Doctor, and you know this, being a man of faith, and you know, we're faith and believers on this show, but you know this to be true, that people look at our external appearances. They look at our accomplishments, what's on the wall. They look at the cars we drive, the houses we live in. They look at all of that. And so what is mind blowing is, and I put the stuff that you put for our show, I took a clip of that and put it into our advertisements, because who would take a 25-year Navy physician, I mean, an Army physician, a doctor, a world wrestling champion, 30 months in combat, and say, oh, it's not all what it looks like. So let's go back a little bit. Let's talk let's talk about the childhood. What, because, you know, and we talked some time ago, but my childhood was very traumatic too, Doctor.
Right. Right.
And at 46, I'm still wrestling with some of the issues from 30 years ago. So, Doctor, tell us about your childhood and set the stage for us.
Well, I mentioned my father coming back from Korea, a broken man. My Auntie Mary, his older sister, my older cousins, and my mother, they tell me that the man that went to war was not the man that came back. And based on his behavior, I'm convinced he had PTSD and bipolar disorder. In those days, they diagnosed him as having schizophrenia.
Oh, wow.
However, I think what happened is he would become psychotic. And what psychosis is, when you lose the ability to distinguish what's real and what's not real, you lose contact with reality. You're quote unquote crazy. And because of the bipolar, he would become psychotic. In those days, they didn't even understand or have the diagnosis, the concept of what bipolar was, mm-hmm. back in the 50s and in the 60s. So they gave him that diagnosis. And he was also an alcoholic. And when he drank, he was violent. And I don't have memories, basically, of my childhood. They're repressed. It's like my life begins at the age of 7. My older sister, Roma, tells us that we would run and hide when my dad would come home. We didn't know which dad was coming home. The fun-loving dad that would play with us, the kind, gentle one, or the angry, violent one. And I didn't understand how abusive he was till my mother, because she would tell us when we were growing up, because he was in and out of the hospital, out of the Veterans Administration's hospitals. And I might see him once or twice a year at best. Oh, wow. And she would say, son, your father is sick. Your father is ill. Because it was unusual not to have a father in the home when I was growing up. I'm 65 years old. That was very much an anomaly back when I was a child. And that's what she'd say, because kids would ask me, where's your dad? Why don't you have a dad? And it was very hurtful and difficult not growing up with a dad. So those were those early years, traumatic, difficult. Dad, insult to injury, I was very small for my age. The smallest kid in my class, as a matter of fact. We moved frequently, so I didn't know people. This new kid on the block. And then, let's just pile it on, you know, let's just make it that much worse. Not only being the smallest kid in the class, I was totally athletically inept. I didn't know how to throw a ball, catch a ball, kick a ball. I tell people I failed at tetherball.
Tetherball. If you fail at tetherball, I think you should just cash in the chips, right? Greg says in the comments, he says, wow, Greg says a young 65. Yeah, you surely do not look your age, doctor.
Thank you, Greg. Bless you, brother. We'd go out on the playground and they choose teams. I was the last one chosen by default. And then this chorus would go up. Why does he have to be on our team? How does that make it feel, right?
Right.
So I'm bullied. I feel like the odd man out. And this goes on throughout my childhood. My dad's not around. And you're trying to process this as a child. Come eighth grade, my mother had remarried at this point. It was the first time in my life that we had a stable life, my family and I. And I go out for the wrestling team. After a few practices, I think, I think I can be good at this. I think I can really be good at this. I make the varsity team. Only eighth grader on the varsity team.
Oh, wow.
I didn't win a match that year. But the bullies left me alone. I wrestled in the 85-pound class, the lowest weight class. But the bullies left me alone.
Wow. That is light, doctor.
I'm still not a very big man.
85 pounds. My goodness, Greg. I mean, Lord, one of my legs weigh that much. But so Dr. Skip, you got onto the varsity wrestling team as an eighth grader, which was a great accomplishment.
Right. I was the only eighth grader on the varsity team.
Yeah.
Ninth grade, I was best wrestler in the room. However, I didn't win a match that year either. I'd get so worked up the night before, all I do is toss and turn, toss and turn, toss and turn all night long. I'd be so physically and emotionally exhausted the next day, I'd get on the mat and couldn't perform.
Right.
Go figure. However, the summer afterwards, I wrestled in some freestyle. I started wrestling freestyle tournaments actually after the eighth grade, but ninth grade, I won my first match
Ooh.
In this tournament. I won my second match. I won my third match. I won my fourth match. Mm-hmm. Now I'm wrestling for the championship. And I win. My coach takes me aside and said, you know who this kid is that you beat? Oh, I have no idea, coach. He said, well, he won this tournament last year. And it was a statewide tournament. So that set me on the path towards winning. I ended up my career having won many state freestyle, which is one of the Olympic style championships, placed in a couple national freestyle championships. I was two-time district champion, state runner-up, and finished my high school career as an honorable mention All-American.
Wow. So much for the guy that couldn't play tetherball.
That's right. Yeah. But the history behind that is there was a shift in my persona. Mm-hmm. I go from this wimpy kid who's bullied now to this still a small guy, but now I'm a tough guy.
Right. Yeah.
And so, by golly, I'm not going to be bullied or pushed around ever again.
So then after that, after high school, did you join the military right after high school, or was there some time?
I did not. I went on to college. I started at the University of Notre Dame on an ROTC, an Army ROTC scholarship.
All right.
However, I left there after 2.5 years, terminated my scholarship. I spent approximately 2.5 years then trying to figure out what I was going to do. I felt a calling from God, and I didn't know how to carry out that call. Mm-hmm. I was pre-med at the University of Notre Dame, and I had this struggle. Well, how do I carry out this calling that God has upon my life and practice medicine? And I struggle with that duality. And it was our family doctor, actually, who recognized how much I was struggling in January of 1978, had me come have lunch with him, gave me a tour of his hospital, introduced me to several of his colleagues who seemed to have all the time in the world, answered questions for me. There was an anesthesiologist, a radiologist, a surgeon, pathologist. And they answered all these questions for me. I think there's also a cardiologist. We went back to his office, and he was asking me, Skip, what are you going to do? Skip, what are you planning on? And I said, Dr. Gill, I think I'd like to go back to school, finish up my pre-med studies, and get into medical school. And his parting words to me were, Skip, whatever you do, you just need to get on with it. Mm. And that was the kick in the pants that I needed.
Right.
So I applied to two different schools. I applied to Creighton University and Oral Roberts University. Creighton had its own medical school. It was a smaller school. And Oral Roberts University was getting ready to start its medical school. They were opening their medical school that year. I visited Creighton. I thought, this will be a great fit. And they were telling me, you'll do great here. You'll do great here. You were at Notre Dame. You'll fit in wonderfully here. And I thought, well, I think I'm going to go there. But I hadn't heard from ORU, Oral Roberts University. I called them up and said, I have this other offer. I've got to let them know by the end of the week. Next day, they call me back. You've been accepted. Make a quick trip to Oral Roberts University. Had a couple of things. I was skeptical when I went there. Two basic questions I had. One, is God really in this place? And two, are the academics sound? And before the day was out, I was convinced on both counts. I opted to go to Oral Roberts University, and that's where I met my sweetheart. And I stayed there, actually, to attend medical school.
Well, just let me parenthetically insert, Doctor, that my first piano teacher and a very, very close friend of mine, Pastor Lee Anderson, was from Oral Roberts. So,
oh, wow. So we share some history there with ORU. See that? Sure. So we were asking the background. So there's accumulated trauma, Chris, in how we go through life. The trauma of childhood, the trauma of your teenage years, it was a great loss to me when I lost in the state finals of wrestling. I had spent 4 years training, working throughout the school year, summers, devoting myself before school training, after school training year round for the goal of standing on that podium as a state champion. Mm. And it hinged on a couple seconds of what we call riding time. that I lost that state championship. And that, I didn't understand how much of an impact and what a loss that was to me, but it affected me in such a way that it injured this persona. It destroyed my confidence, and it took me about 3.5 years to rebuild that. And then there was the trauma of a young lady that I was very much in love with. And when that relationship went by the wayside, my heart was broken.
Right.
Leaving Notre Dame, again, there was that loss. Termination of my scholarship. And then later, as you go through life, our firstborn, medical school is a grind. Our firstborn was born with this very rare genetic anemia. Less than 50 individuals in all America have this type of illness. And a variety of medical issues we had to deal with as he was an infant. Subsequently, you go through the military and being away from your family and some of the duty stations under some of the command that you have to deal with, and
right.
some of the conditions, again, that things, and it accumulates, this stress accumulates one-on-one, and then the issues you have with some of your teenagers is, you know, with drug addictions and mental illness and so forth, all these things accumulate.
Well, let me just ask Dr. because, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Impact Life 24/7, our live audience, as well as our podcast. I'm blessed and joined by Dr. Donald Mondragon. We call him Dr. Skip. And he's a 25-year, is it 25 or 26 years?
26, I see.
26-year Army physician, retired colonel, and just a man of faith. But he has helped us, is helping us over the next couple of days to understand this whole thing about stress, and recognizing that those of us that are men, those of us that are strong and tough guys, guess what? He talks about this, that tough guys get depressed. And so we're blessed to have him. I wish I could keep him for all week, but I can't pay him. I can't pay him that good as the Army could. So I gotta let him go. But we're thankful for you spending time with us. And what I wanted to ask was, before we go to our break at 9, I wanted to ask, in terms of this compartmentalize, or not layering, or whatever term you used, that's very interesting, because sometimes life forces us to move on, right?
Yes.
But we actually deal with that particular element that we brought into the next segment that life brought us to. So in other words, you know, your kid trauma, your school trauma, the girlfriend trauma, the military trauma, and then when if you don't deal with it, should a person expect to deal with these things adequately in each compartment?
A lot of times we're not equipped to. When I was a kid, I didn't have the wherewithal to deal with that.
You're
struggling. In those days, bullying wasn't necessarily even a word. You were picked on. I didn't go tell the teacher. I didn't go tell my mom. I didn't go tell my grandma. I didn't go tell my older sisters. I just dealt with it. Right. It was one of those things. Well, you know, I'm on my own, you know, this is what's going to happen. And I wasn't going to be pushed around. So I tell these big guys, sorry, you know, you're not going to take my lunch money, or no, you're not going to do that to me. And I take a beating. Now that's the way it was. And I didn't run home and whine and cry. It was one of those things. So it was a different world that we lived in. And again, as you go through in this tough guy persona, you compartmentalize. And the way we were raised and enculturated, this idea that we're not taught oftentimes as men how to identify our feelings. And that's a big part of it. How to identify that I'm sad, I'm lonely,
right.
I'm feeling rejected, I'm confused. And much less, if we don't know how to identify it, how do we even express that to somebody? And oftentimes for men, we express one of three type of emotions. This elation, you know, rah-rah, high-fiving, slap one another on the back, cheering for our team, birth of a baby, something great. Love or anger, when so many of those other emotions, those negative emotions, those things that we don't know how to express, get expressed as anger. Because we haven't been taught. It hasn't been modeled for us.
Right. And when we look at our society, especially we're talking about men in particular, and I'm thankful for Dr. Donald Mondragon to be on our show. He is all the way from Texas. Where are you at in Texas again?
We are in Midlothian, which is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yes. So I'm just going to say Dallas because I can't pronounce
it. There you go.
we'll christen you into Dallas.
Yes, sir.
But doctor, you know, you're so right. And I was even talking about this today that, you know, as a husband, as a provider, as a, you know, the strong tower that never can be shaken. The reality is that, you know, the Marine Corps, that wasn't a place that you cried or showed weakness. You know, Army, same thing. And Katrina says Army's good. So you got another fan. But you're right. If we don't see it modeled, I could just tell you this, that a lot of stuff that I went through, I just suppressed. I just tucked it away. You know what I mean? I just put it away, and you know, 46 years old now, I'm like, okay, I need to deal with some of this stuff because I never dealt with it.
Yes, that's correct. That's absolutely correct.
Well, so you went into the military, and you went to Oral Roberts. You finished Oral Roberts. You did pre-med, and then how was that whole experience? Was that amazing?
Pre-med was wonderful.
Yeah,
because my heart had been healed. My confidence had been restored. God had done a wonderful healing in my heart. And I actually went there with the intent, I'm not going to get involved with any girls. I remember saying that to myself,
right,
very distinctly. Because I said to myself, girls, who needs them? They take your money, they take your time, and they take your heart.
Right. See, even I do that one.
Time? I got to study and get into medical school. I don't have time for girls. Money? What money? I didn't have any. At heart, no way. I'm not giving my heart away. It had taken me 3.5 years for my heart to mend. See, and I met Sherry my very first week at ORU, and she ruined my plans.
She said, oh no, I got something else for you, big boy. So real quick, we're at the top of the hour. I'm joined by Dr. Donald Mondragon, and I want everyone to go to his website, wrestlingisnotforwimps.com. We also have on our Facebook Live a link to his book, Wrestling is Not for Wimps, and we're so blessed to have him. I just would like to take a moment to thank our sponsors for helping Impacting Life 24/7 stay on the air, and our gold sponsors, they get a commercial every time we do the show, and we're thankful for our new gold sponsors. Gregory Smith is a gold sponsor and a silver sponsor and a platinum sponsor and a diamond sponsor. But he has a book called 100 Simple Ways How to Manage a Property and Evidence Room. You can get your copy of his book at reaching out to Greg on Facebook or email him at smithg1963@yahoo.com. Also, Michelle Perry, who is a gold sponsor. She is the founder of the Successful Diligence LLC and also the host of the worldwide Successful Diligence podcast. She's a best-selling author, and that book is called The Pebble in My Shoe. I just heard recently that she's running out of copies because they're flying off the shelf. So reach out to her. You can connect with Michelle and get a copy of her book at successfuldiligence.com. And listen, when you reach out to these folks, let them know you heard about them here on Impact Life 24/7. Adrian Barker, the host of the Adrian Barker Speaks podcast, is a life coach and CEO of Professional Global Etiquette. And I love for you to connect with Adrian at professionalglobaletiquette.com. And the CL King Group Incorporated is also a sponsor. We have many other sponsors, but the gold level sponsorship, which is just $5 a month, it gets you a free commercial. We're just going to continue to give. And so we'll talk more about how sponsorship works at the end of the show. But I'm joined by the Colonel, the man, the myth, and definitely a legend, Donald Mondragon from Dallas, Texas. Greg said, well, Dallas area. But Greg says that he was a recruiter in Dallas. Where'd you say you recruited at, Greg? He was in Lancaster, Oak Cliff, downtown Dallas. And Greg was a phenomenal Marine and an even better recruiter. So he still recruits to this day. That's how I stay busy. Yeah. So tell me how your entry into the military was.
My entry into the military, I was wanting to go to medical school. I didn't want to take out any bank loans. I also wanted to get married. How am I going to support a wife? Found out the Army offered scholarships for medical school. In exchange for 4-year scholarship, the Army, you owe the Army 4 years of service. I thought, hey, that's a pretty good deal. And with that, you got a small living stipend. Certainly it was small, but between what I made and what my wife was making, she graduated a year before me and was working on her master's at the University of Tulsa, what she made, between the two of us, we lived well below the poverty level, we came to find out a few years later.
I was eating top ramen even back then.
Yeah, yeah, yes, sir. But we were able to get married.
Right.
So I applied for the Army scholarship. I received the Army scholarship. And when I went in, it wasn't with the intent of serving my 4 years and getting out. I went in with the intent that I was going to make a career.
Wow. Okay. You were a little older then, right? How old were you then?
I graduated, I was 26 when I graduated from ORU as a undergrad. Mm-hmm. I tell people I was on the 8-year plan. Think when I got my degree, my parents, they didn't say anything to me in that regard, but they must have been, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our son is finally graduated. They were so patient with me.
So what type of medicine did you practice in the Army?
I'm an internal medicine specialist, so a specialist for adults. We treat everything from the common cold to taking care of a patient who is in the ICU in hooked up to life-saving equipment.
Wow.
That's the gamut of what internal medicine takes care of.
Ooh, boy, you got to know a little bit of everything, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And so your combat tours, how many combat tours did you do?
Well, I spent 37 months deployed and 30 of those in combat zones.
Oh, my. Wow. So after you made colonel, did you ever think about going for like general?
I was not on the right track. Okay. In that you have to decide fairly early in your career whether you're going to be a clinician, teacher, or whether you wish to go the route more of an administrator, if you will.
Right.
And do the jobs that require that to be on the track to become a general officer.
Yeah.
And I loved clinical medicine. I loved teaching. And that's what I worked. That's what I did throughout my career.
Yeah, I don't know if you know my friend Chris D.T. Gordon, but he says,
Chris.
Skip is a great man. Chris Skip is a great guest and an even better man. And I can concur with that.
Oh, bless you, Chris.
So, you know, Skip, we have Skip on our show, Dr. Skip Mondragon from the Dallas area in Texas. And everything is bigger in Texas.
Yes, sir.
And so there came a point. And this is really, you know, how we got here. I wanted you guys to, we've been laboriously going through the elements of Skip's life so that maybe something that he says will resonate with you like, okay, I can see that I went to school. I can see I got married. I can see I did this. I can see I did that. World champion wrestler, on and on. Tough guy, you know, combat veteran, somebody you want in your foxhole with you, or somebody, well, colonels don't get in foxholes. Somebody you'd want commanding the folks in the foxhole. But then something happened, Colonel, and this is really the ministry and mission God has you on. Something happened. What happened?
Yes. Let me go back, though, Chris, on behalf of our Marines and any service members listening, to when I came back from Iraq the first time after OIF-1. We touched down at Fort Hood, and I wanted to get down and kiss the ground.
Right.
It was as though a 300-pound gorilla was lifted off my back, because the last 3.5 months in Iraq, I had been the officer in charge of the 21st Combat Support Hospital in Mosul. I was in charge of 220 personnel responsible for all that went on with the 21st CASH, all the medical care, the logistics, the force protection, air evacuation. The buck stopped here. Of course, I didn't know how to do all of that. I knew what it required to give outstanding medical care, but all the other things, I had to rely on a fabulous staff that I did have. We got all our 220 personnel home. We had a seamless transfer of care to the 67th Combat Support Hospital. And we made sure we provided amazing, amazing care to the soldiers we treated there in that northern sector with the 101st Airborne Division, working closely with General Petraeus and his amazing staff. But when I came home, my emotions were like this and that. One moment I'd be so elated, then I'd be in tears, and then I'd be angry. And I couldn't figure out where this anger was coming from. And I remember relating this to a friend of mine, and they responded, "Well, you know, Skip, anger is a secondary emotion." A few days later, I'm talking to somebody else. "You know, Skip, anger is a secondary emotion." I say the same thing to a third person, and they respond in the same fashion. "You know, Skip, anger is a secondary emotion." "All right, Skip, bing, 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 bing. Pay attention. What are they talking about?" And I pondered with that. I reflected on it and prayed about it. Mm-hmm. What I realized is I was grieving. I was grieving over those soldiers we lost, over those soldiers that were maimed, whose lives would never be the same, whose families would never be the same. I was grieving over that year that I lost out of my family's life. I was grieving, but I couldn't get in touch with that. I didn't know what was happening, and it was coming out as anger. And when I could finally put my finger on what I was feeling, and again, it's what I was talking about, Chris, we don't know how to identify those feelings, but when I could put my finger on it and began to grieve more properly, then my emotions weren't like this. And I wasn't angry. I could be happy that I was home, delighted that I was home, and I could cry and shed tears appropriately. And I think that happens to a lot of our service members when they come back, and they don't know where that anger is coming from. They can't identify what is going on here. So I say that on behalf of my fellow vets and our service members that are listening in. Take note of that. So what happened to me? Well, my problems snowballed until 2013, the year before I'm getting out of the Army. We knew we were going to drop our papers to retire at the end of 2014. I began to experience insomnia in the summer of 2013. Then some problems started going on in my department that affected graduate medical education, educating of our residents and visiting residents and medical students. Things that I could have not done anything about, but I took it personal as my responsibility, began to feel shame, guilt, And then these negative thoughts started running around my mind. You don't deserve a vehicle. You're a fake. You failed. You've let your family down. You've let the army down. You've let your department down. Who's going to want to hire you? And then I began to lose my confidence, trouble, decision making. My cognition starts going off. I'm having trouble remembering what I read 5 minutes earlier. What did I read? Huh? Trouble remembering a medication, the name of medication. Talking with the patient, trying to recall the name of medical syndrome, and I can't pull that out of my brain. It got to the point where I asked the chief of behavioral health if I could be evaluated for premature onset dementia. I got tested. All of these things are happening. Meanwhile, the insomnia is getting worse and worse and worse. It was compounded by 3 surgeries over 7 months. And why 3 surgeries over 7 months? Because I was taking care of everybody else at my expense. And with each of those surgeries, it worsened my sleep. It threw me out of my normal routine. I couldn't do my exercise as I normally would. I relied on intense exercise, and I only understood that retrospectively, that I relied on that exercise to manage my anxiety. Mm-hmm. It disrupted my normally healthy diet, and that only compounded all these things, and all these symptoms just got worse and worse. My mood just became more and more blue. I began to withdraw more, lost passion in my normal interests, particularly wrestling, coaching the boys that I would coach in wrestling. And it finally came to that point, April 17th, 2014, went into my office early that morning as I normally did, got there before anybody else, turned on the lights, put my lunch away, walked into my office, locked the door, turned off the lights, closed the blinds, turned off my phones, crawled up in a fetal position under my desk. 4 hours, I was asking myself, Skip, what are you doing? Skip, how did you get here? What happened? So I'm thinking to myself, I'm a colonel. I've spent 30 months in combat zones. I'm a national wrestling champion. I'm a tough guy. How did I get here? And for the next 4 hours, I wrestled with that. And very slowly, I put the pieces together. And I see all those symptoms I was experiencing. And finally, I admitted to myself, Skip, you're depressed. Go get help. I'm a physician, but see that tough guy persona and the way I lived my life. Gut it out, be tough. Push through it, work harder. I couldn't see through all of this stuff to see what was going on.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuning in to Impacting Life 24/7. And I have as my guest, my friend and brother, Dr. Skip. Mondragon. He's a retired Army colonel, retired physician, 26-year veteran, world championship wrestler, and the author of Wrestling. Depression is not for wimps. And he talks about lessons learned from an amateur wrestler's fight to triumph over depression. Let me just tell you, doctor, you're a man of faith.
Yes, sir.
went to Oral Roberts. I've seen the big tower there. My first piano teacher was Oral Roberts. And sometimes in the faith community, even, it's even frowned upon when you say you need help. Because if he's not the Prince of Peace, then you can't, there's nothing else. There's no other way. And I believe in the Prince of Peace. But I bet you, doctor, that there are people sitting on our padded pews, walking through our 6-inch deep carpet, that are experiencing exactly what you are experiencing. And because they don't want to seem out of the norm, well, I'll go to church. That's God. Why do I feel this way?
Yes.
And men in particular don't know how to process it. Church can almost be its own subculture that you you know what I mean? You got to
meet
the standard or whatever.
Right.
And so folks, the reason why I'm having the doctor on for 2 days is because you see, he's performing surgery on us tonight with his story. It's not always easy to, and me being a storyteller of my life, it's not always easy to be transparent and expose yourself, but the doctor has paid the ultimate price, and he acknowledged with himself that the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And so the doctor did the same thing, even though he was under his desk. He said, Skip, you need to get some help. What happened after that? What was your journey like? What did getting help look like for Dr. Colonel Skip Donald Mondragon?
I got up. I went downstairs to my primary care physician clinic. I asked for the earliest appointment I could get with the clinical psychologist in that clinic. They said, we can get you in next week. I booked that appointment, went back up to my office, sat there for a few minutes and thought, I don't want to wait till next week. Picked up the phone, called the chief of behavioral health. See, it helps that you're a colonel, the chief of the department, you know, all the other chiefs. My first name, Joe, here's what's going on. Can you get me an appointment? He had an appointment for me that afternoon. I saw a very astute young psychologist. She did a thorough evaluation, including assessing for suicidality. And at the end of the appointment, she corroborated the diagnosis of major depression. And she said, my chief and I, we were discussing your case and feel that there's another psychologist that you and he would work very effectively together. And we set up your first appointment with him for next week. And indeed, we hit it off beautifully. And I'll forever be indebted to Lieutenant Colonel retired Mike Perry.
Wow. And you know, again, hey, Augie, my friend Augie, who's a truck driver, he's up in Portland, Oregon. He says hello. He's a former Army Ranger. And he always tunes into the show.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So Augie is, when COVID hit, during the peak, he was one of the few truck drivers in the world that did not come off the road.
Wow.
He stayed on the road for 6 straight months.
Whoa. Well, bless you, brother.
Yeah, Augie's an amazing man. And we're blessed to have an amazing doctor and man, Dr. Donald Mondragon. He is the author of Wrestling Depression is Not for Wimps. Lessons learned from an amateur wrestler's fight to triumph over depression. And you can get that at wrestlingisnotforwimps.com. Wrestlingisnotforwimps.com. Of course, you can connect with the doctor. He's going to be with us again tomorrow. But the journey, you know, after those sessions, and some men out there, some military men out there are saying, you know, they've probably said some of the stuff you said. Well, I led men in combat. I've had bombs going off over my head. I don't need to go talk to nobody, right? And it is an act of humility to recognize when you're bleeding out. The first thing they tell you to do in the 4 life-saving steps that at least in the Marine Corps they teach, stop the bleeding. That's the
yes.
Right?
Yes.
You can stop the bleeding.
You gotta stop the bleeding, right? And restore the breathing is the next thing. Protect the wound and treat for shock. So, you know, you had to stop what, you know, you identified that, hey, I've been walking around and I'm gushing and I need to stop it. So how long, you know, you don't have to go into deep detail, but how long were you, you know, in the care of another physician?
Well, I met weekly with Lieutenant Colonel Mike Perry, my clinical psychologist, for several months. And then those periods began to space out, but for several months we met weekly. I saw my primary care physician. She did a thorough evaluation and she recommended medication, which I felt I needed to be on. And then eventually I also saw a psychiatrist who further adjusted medications. So I tell people I saw the A team. The A team was taking care of me, my clinical psychologist, my primary care physician, and my psychiatrist. And they all provided compassionate, competent, and wonderful care to me with such kindness.
Right.
That I never felt less than. And going for help is actually empowering, because I was so utterly depleted. I knew at that point that I was at the end of my rope. Right. I was on my back and it was wrestling this 250-pound behemoth. And I was struggling with all my might and there was no way that I could get up.
You know, your wife, your lovely wife, your beautiful kids, and I think you got grandkids too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Those people, thank you, doctor, for coming to that intersection that says, you know, I need some help. Let me just tell you a little, just a personal story without giving out the names. Someone we lost very, very close to our family this year. And I guess what I want to ask you in the last few minutes of our time, because tomorrow night we're going to get into the how-tos. We're going to get into some tips, some strategies. We're going to talk about more about things that he's got in the book. I want to talk some wrestling moves. See if I can get the doctor down on the mat. See what he's got.
All right, buddy.
But does someone listening out there who, you know, initially would say, I'm not depressed, or if they looked at our advertisement and says, oh, that's not for me. But somehow they felt compelled to listen to the show. Are there some telltale signs of depression?
Yes, the sine qua non is a blue mood. And we're not talking about feeling down. This is a palpable heaviness. It's like a gray cloud descends upon your life. It's walking through life in black and white. You lose passions for what you're normally interested in. Your cognition can be off. You lose confidence. There's indecision. Anxiety oftentimes accompanies that. I felt this tremulousness in my chest and my hands would shake. I would just feel anxious. Disruptions of your sleep, insomnia, or excessive sleep. These negative thoughts that we call negative ruminations, like a cow ruminating, bringing up its cud, chewing it, going down. It's this endless play loop, like I talked about. You're a fake. You don't deserve to be a colonel. You've let your family down. You've let the army down. They just batter you day in and day out, just on and on. So I mentioned the loss of confidence, the guilt, the shame, withdrawal. It's a syndrome of all of these syndromes or many of these syndromes. Plus it can affect you physically. Fatigue, that was another thing. Headaches, the inflammation affected my osteoarthritis and overuse injuries. It would just ache. I'd ice them, I'd soak in hot tubs with Epsom salt because that inflammation just made those things worse.
Now, let me ask you this. I think I heard you say that's you or maybe somebody would try to compensate for these feelings by exercising or other things. Is that possible?
Well, compensate. Yeah, I compensated with my anxiety trying to exercise, but Another thing, though, that's good for treatment, and we'll talk about that some more tomorrow, is actually exercise.
Okay.
Exercise has been shown to be a good antidote, if you will, to treat mild and even to some cases moderate depression because of the impact and the way it affects different chemicals in our brain and some of the neurohormones and other regulatory systems in our body, that exercise is one of the very important things in treatment of our lifestyles towards helping us to treat depression.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I again am just, you know, very, very thankful for our good doctor. He is Dr. Donald Mondragon, and you can find him on multiple different outlets. You can find him at wrestlingisnotforwimps.com. You can find him on Facebook and Twitter at SkipWNW, like WWF, but this is going to be WNW. You created your own league, brother.
You can go
get his book at Amazon.com. You can also find his book, Wrestling Not for Wimps, through Google, Barnes & Nobles, Walmart, and BookBub. And I'm thankful, doctor, that you sent me. I just looked in the thing in my email because I don't do email, man. Young folks don't do email as much. You sent me a digital copy of the book, and I'm going to share it with our team, with our staff at Impacting Life 24/7, because most of us are veterans on our team, and very, very powerful book. And we're going to get into some, I want you to highlight a few things for tomorrow that you can pull some nuggets out of the book. We're going to talk about, doctor gave us 7 amazing tips that he's going to discuss that will impact our audience. He's going to highlight the impact of mental health in men, discuss ways to combat the stigma of mental illness. He's going to give men, especially tough guys, including active duty service members, first responders, and vets, permission to say, I'm hurting and I need help. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. He's going to educate on cardinal symptoms of depression further than what we did today. We're going to provide tips to help those struggling with depression to get help and help them to recover and maintain their health and well-being. And he's going to talk to about the two sides of masculinity. And so I will save that for tomorrow. Doctor, you know, I can just tell you this right now that, I got to find a way to get this session that we've had, this life session that we've had, into the hands of many, many of our service members. Because you said something so true. You said, you know, people come back and they're like your dad. He came back a different man than he left. And
yes,
we just assumed that, well, they're grateful to be back home. And everything's going to be lockstep in just a few days. They should be good to go. It's almost like grieving. And we just assume people get over it, and they're not. So, doctor, before we let you go, because I know being a colonel, you got some stuff to do. can you please give us I started the music early, but you can take your time. Give us a word of encouragement to all of our men, service members, first responders out there. About, you know, who feel they may be dealing with depression. Give us a word of encouragement, doctor.
Men, I would remind you that admitting that I'm hurting, admitting that I need help, reaching out for help, does not make you weak, does not make you a wimp. Does not mean you're less than a man. It only means that you're human. And we all need help from time to time. So if you are struggling, don't suffer in silence one more day. Reach out, get help, and start on that journey to recovery. There are those that love you. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your fellow service members, your fellow first responders. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your friends. Reach out and get help.
Powerful words from the great Dr. Skip. We call him the doctor of wrestling. I'm going to get him to do some Hulk Hogan poses tomorrow. Doctor, you have really touched so many areas tonight. They can say that you can argue with my theology, you can argue with my methods, but you cannot argue with my results. And you're a living testimony, Doctor, that getting help is not for wimps, and that you couldn't have a more sterling resume than you have. This is the first time, I think, Gray, this is the first time we had a full bird colonel on our show, brother. We just moving on up. I'll tell you. That's it. I don't need no generals. I got a and doctor, we look forward to being back here tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 o'clock for you in the dressing room.
Yes, sir.
I would love for everyone to spread the word about our friend, Dr. Donald Madrigan, from Dallas, Texas area. He's a retired physician, 26-year vet, colonel in the Army, world wrestling champion, and he found the antidote to include in his faith. He found the antidote to combat depression. Now, notice, he is a man of faith. And if you break your arm, pray for me, but then get me down to the doctor to put it in the cast.
Amen.
Right? I want y'all to come pray for me real quick, but then get me on down to 911. You know what I'm saying? Because listen, we don't disparage going to the doctor for that. But sometimes in the faith circles, we disparage going to the doctors for depression. So again, Dr. Donald Madrigan from Dallas, Texas area, we thank you so much, doctor. We will see you back here tomorrow night for part two in our two-part series. You have really blessed us. We really appreciate it, doctor.
Thank you, Chris. I look forward to it.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's just how that worked today with Dr. Donald Madrigan. I'm working on getting the R in there, Madrigan. And what a phenomenal, phenomenal story. Sometimes we think we got it all figured out, y'all. That's right, Michelle. I mean, like, okay, y'all pray over me, slap some oil on me, but then after y'all done and you ain't seen my arm back right, get me on down to the doctor. And I'll just be honest with you, man. I've been in church 30 plus years in leadership, not just in church. And sometimes it's frowned upon for people who are dealing with depression to get help. Well, he's the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He also can heal you. When your arm don't get healed, you go down to the doctor, don't you? And this doctor who was he wasn't PhD, he's a physician, combat physician, over hundreds of people, full bird colonel in the Army, said, man, I've done all this, and I need some help. You know, it's something when you crawled up under your desk in a fetal position as a colonel. You know, it's got to be humbling too, because you're a man in charge, a man under authority and over authority, in authority. So anyway, I'd love for you guys to tune back in tomorrow night. Thank you for coming back tomorrow. If you can, it'll be 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Listen, if you'd like to become a sponsor, very, very simple. Go to clkingspeaker.com. If you'd like to get some merch, we're going to start sporting it on the show. I got some coming in. You can go also to clkingspeaker.com, click on the merch tab, and I'd love for you to support us there. As well as if you'd like to become a sponsor, there's three levels of sponsorship: silver, gold, and platinum. Silver is $1 a month. Helps us keep with all the external things that we have to do to keep the show going on, all of our subscriptions, all of our payments, all of our analytics, all of our automation, because we couldn't be doing all this stuff, even with a staff of 20. That helps us with that. The $5 a month sponsorship helps with that, but it also gets you a free commercial on our show. And our show is listened to and downloaded in 10 different countries, as well as from coast to coast, north and south in the United States. So as long as you're a sponsor, a $5 sponsor, a gold sponsor, you get a free commercial at the top of the hour. And then our $15 sponsorship helps us, because we're not going to be having to do virtual very much longer, folks. I feel it in the spirit. And we have a training that we designed for young people called GEAR. And that training is a four-step process to help young people who feel stuck, especially in the at-risk community like I was, They feel stuck, and they don't. Man, we offer that training free of charge to schools all throughout the country. We love to offer it free of charge. Sometimes we can't because I got to pay to get all the way to Texas if I got to fly. And so we love to be able to do these things free of charge. So that $15 a month sponsorship is a platinum sponsorship. Of course, you get a free gift and you get a commercial at that level. All right. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Yeah, you're right, Michelle. They are including into the church. I talked about that, man. You know, we walk on 6-inch deep carpet and thinking because we shout and our wig fall off that's it. No, man. People, and I came up in church, you just shut up and suck it up. But I'm glad that we are understanding that you can still be a person of faith and trust in God and also take care of these other issues. Yes, Greg, you're beyond a platinum sponsor, though, brother. You're like, what's higher than platinum? Like diamonds, rubies? Greg's like a ruby sponsor. That's why. I mean, I could never pay this man back for all he's done for me. Anyway, tomorrow night, back here, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the doctor. Let some men know about this show, okay? Because we're gonna recap, and then we're going to go into some strategies for overcoming this, how to get help. Speak up. We don't need to lose another vet. We don't need to lose another man. And you're not a wimp just because you ask for help. You're not a wimp. All right, thank you, guys. We'll talk again tomorrow night. Have a great night.